following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled Matters of the Heart, a study through the book of 2 Corinthians. More information about this study is available at www.refugefamily.com.
Thank you, God. We are so thankful that we can be here tonight, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for the cold weather. I love the cold, and I love, Lord, that you warm us. Father, you are the warmer of our hearts. You are the one who keeps us safe. You are the one that we turn to, Lord, no matter what our situation. You are the one, Lord, that we love. And we are thankful, Lord, to be here tonight. We are thankful, Lord, that we live in a country where we can still speak your word freely. And Lord, we know that should we ever be called to do otherwise in this country, that we will still stand. And if you call us to stand in a situation like that, you will give us the grace to do it. Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray, Father, for a turning around of the direction that we're going in. Father, we know that we're headed on the downhill spiral, Lord. And you promised that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that you would hear from heaven and heal our land. And so, Lord, we hang on to that promise. We have that hope in you, and we're thankful, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, open your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm excited to get into this chapter, and I think it's one of my new favorite chapters. I just love the Word of God. I love the Word of God. I love the richness that's in it, and I love watching you guys when you are talking about doing your homework and stuff, and you talk about, I found this in there, and I found that in there, and your excitement about the Word of God. That's just so fun for me. So thank you guys for blessing me like you have. So we're going to start with chapter 3, verse 18, but we all, I know that Andrea did a great job on this last week, but I just want to pick it up quickly because it leads into the therefore. But we all, with unveiled face, not being anything than other than who we are, beholding as in a mirror in the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are being changed. That is my prayer every day, that God would change me, that he would make me more like him. And I want to be changed. I know there are things in my heart that don't belong there, and I want to be like him. Can you imagine looking in the mirror and seeing the image of Jesus in the mirror? Because you've become so much like him, and you're able to look and to see him face to face. What a glorious day that's going to be, that we are being changed into the same image, that is the image of Christ, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, since we have this ministry of the Holy Spirit, this ministry that has been given to us by mercy, this ministry that we bring to you, a ministry that God has given us, as we have received mercy, we don't lose heart. We don't lose heart. When God gives us that confidence of knowing that we are called to a ministry. And ladies, I've got to tell you tonight, you are called to a ministry. And you're thinking, oh, no, I don't teach, and I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do the other thing. But you are all teaching someone. And so with that teaching someone, you are in a ministry. And many times you're in a ministry of grace. You are in a ministry of offering someone else peace. You are in the ministry of caring for another person. Meals ministry. When you cook a meal for someone who needs a meal, you are in a ministry. That ministry has been given to you by grace. And when you are performing that ministry, God says to you, don't lose heart. And you know, there's just something about when you're serving someone else that keeps us from losing heart. It's exciting. It's exciting when we get our eyes off of ourselves and onto someone else. And so we do not lose heart. But we have renounced, this is what we have done, we have renounced the hidden things of shame. We have let those hidden things of shame go. Don't be fooled, ladies. There is no such thing as a hidden sin, a secret sin. We can have something hidden so far in our hearts and we think that it's secret. We think no one knows about it. Oh, it's just when I'm home alone, the lights are off, no one can see me, no one will ever know whatever this is. I promise you, it will come out. And it may come out even after you're gone. How many times have we heard of things happening? We find out, oh, this person did that and this person did the other thing. After you're gone, all the things you lived for and everything was really good, and this comes out, and that's what people remember about us. J. Vernon McGee says, secret sin on earth is open scandal in heaven. It's not hidden to anyone. It's right there in the open. And so we've renounced those things. We've decided that we don't want that hidden sin in our lives. We're not walking in craftiness. We're not trying to put things together. We're walking in that truth, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. We're not trying to bring attention to ourselves. We're not trying to pretend that the word of God is something that it isn't. We're not pretending that we're something that we're not. We don't handle it deceitfully to make it happen the way we want it to happen. I was in a church one time, and I would have walked out just because I was so frustrated with this particular place that I was at. The pastor had typed out all of the verses that he was reading in whatever version made his point. And for me, that is manipulating the Word of God. That's how I feel about it. Now, not everybody feels that way. I feel that it's handling the Word of God deceitfully. I want to make it say what I want it to say. And here, I'll write it out for you so that you don't have to go into your own word and find out what it actually says. In fact, he was at one particular verse, and I'm sitting there going, you need to go on to the next verse. The next verse says what it is here. You're missing the whole point here. You know, all of this is going through my mind, and I probably should have left because my attitude was so stinking. I should have prayed for him, but I didn't. And so I am confessing my secret sin to you right now and just realizing that I didn't even pray for the man. But so not handling it deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, that complete truth, telling it like it is, plainly and in an understandable way. We manifest the truth when we live it in our lives before other people so that they can see it by our example. Paul did this. He not only preached the truth. Who is the truth? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so we put forth Jesus. He is the truth. And we live in that truth, and people see us. He preached the gospel, and he obeyed the gospel in his own life. Do we preach the gospel to someone else and not obey it in our own lives? It's a pitfall that we can fall into because we know the truth. And we can share it with someone else. But when it comes to me, well, you know, I'm just, and we come up with all kinds of excuses where I'm different than everybody else. And yes, I should have done that, but I make excuses for myself. I need to confess that sin because that is a sin. It needs to be confessed. I can't confess my excuse. God has never forgiven an excuse. He only forgives the sin. If I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And so manifesting the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And so we are before other people. They can see that what we're talking about is also what we're doing. When we lived in Australia, I found something about the Australians is that they will very, very quickly accept people. And then after a very short time, they start looking at you. Are you doing what you said you were going to do? Are you doing what you're talking about telling us to do? And they really keep their eye on you. And if you mess up in any way, and that's probably true in most places, but I found it very, very true there. And then they'll have nothing to do with you, and they move on to the next happening thing and check them out. But living that truth before people. But even if our gospel is veiled, even if people can't see it, here's who it's veiled to. It's veiled to those who are dying. It's veiled to those who are dying in their sin, who refuse to accept Christ, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. They insist on keeping on the blinders, and they will perish in that. The God of this age, the God of this age. Man, there is so much that comes into our lives. We get so wrapped up in things. Our physical universe has a sun. And there are times when we don't see the sun. It's always there, but we don't see it. Why? Because it's nighttime. And it's on the other side of the planet. We're in darkness because there's something between us and the light. And that's what it's talking about here, that they are blinded. The light that's always shining. God is always seeking to shine into the hearts of men, but we put things between him and us. What are those things that we put between him and us? A cloud of pride? I can do it myself. I can do it all alone. I don't need anybody. What about a bit of rebellion? Just a bit of rebellion. Or maybe some self-righteousness clouds out that light. Today was a prime example. Most of the day, there were clouds covering the sunlight. And it was a gloomy day. But then there was that one point when the sun broke through. And the sun felt, I don't know, maybe it's just because I was going to be talking about this, it looked like the sun was brighter. Because I had had the experience of the darkness, and now the light is on. It's always shining, but there were those clouds that kept it from shining through. And so we don't want to have any of those things in here, in our lives. It is the gospel of the glory of Christ. The gospel has to do with Christ in glory. It is not the carpenter of Nazareth. It is not the man on the cross, but it is the Lord Jesus Christ who has died, has been buried, and who has risen again, and who is even now at the right hand of God in heaven. That's the one our faith is in. The one who our faith is in is that risen Savior. He's the object of our faith, the glorified Son of God in heaven. For we do not preach ourselves in verse 5, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. We do not preach ourselves. The Judaizers were good at that. They talked all about themselves, all the stories about themselves and how wonderful they were, how fantastic they were, and people would be drawn to them because of the charisma. Has that stopped today? Has that stopped? Do we not look at the outward appearance and we're drawn to that, the charisma of someone, and we don't listen to what they're actually saying? Do you know that presidents are elected because of the way that they look? Only because, in many people's minds, it's only the way that they look. If they are attractive, they have a better chance. But that's the world, isn't it? You can go to any store. And I don't, no, that illustration won't work there. I don't want to talk about that illustration. But you know, you can get waited on a lot quicker if you're an attractive woman. Is that not true? And it's true everywhere. We're all drawn to that. And God tells us we don't need to be drawn to that. And Paul says that's not what we're preaching. We're not preaching ourselves. We're not trying to draw attention to ourselves. When you think about what Paul looked like, I'm not sure that anybody would be, oh, let me be friends with you. They were able to look and see Jesus in him. He didn't sound like he was a very attractive man, actually. And ourselves, your bondservants, why? For Jesus' sake. I want to serve you in Jesus' name. I want to serve you in Jesus' name. I want to serve. I am a bondservant of Christ, and I want to serve you, not in my own name, but in the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 6, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is this same God who created light to begin with. The same God who said, light be, and light was. This same God now dwells in my heart and is the light of my life. And I pray that when you look at me, that you see Jesus. I know that there are times when I've clouded over that and I've had attitudes that stink, attitudes that kept people from seeing who I really do love. But dealing with those attitudes and allowing that to be lifted, that veil to be lifted, that others might see that life that lives in me. The material creation in Genesis began with the light, and so also does the spiritual creation. God shines in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and then spiritual life begins. We have that eternal life that shines in us. The very one who created light to begin with now lives in my heart. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We have this treasure, this light, this life, this person in an earthen vessel. And I know you've heard it numerous times that I'm a cracked pot. And I know that I'm a cracked pot. I know that I'm so broken. I'm so broken in so many ways. But God can take a cracked pot. And God can take that worn-out looking pot and shine his light through it and draw people to himself. Because the thing that we're talking about here is not the excellence of the earthen vessel. It's the excellence of God, the power of God, not of us. I've been told that if you take a terracotta pot to plant in, that it's best to soak the pot first so that it soaks up all the water. And then you plant in it, and then the water that's on the plant will cause the plant to grow. It won't be all soaked up in the outside. The outside won't look really good while the inside is dying. Now, I can't grow up anything. You know, if I see something that looks like it might turn out pretty, it's a weed. My husband says, yeah, it's a weed. That's all right. It has a flower on it, and I grew it. I did it by myself. Please don't pull it. Please don't pull my one flower out. That's about the only thing that I can grow. But I know this broken vessel, this old vessel, this crumpled vessel, houses the light of God. And you know, there's something about a cracked pot. When you repair a cracked pot and you put the right kind of glue or whatever you use to correct it, to take care of that crack, that area becomes stronger than it ever was before. You know, we use the illustration when a bone breaks and it mends that it's stronger in that area. But this cracked pot has had a lot of things repaired. Sounds like I just had a facelift. Has had a lot of things repaired. I haven't, by the way. You can kind of tell by the lines that are still there. But I've had a lot of areas in my life that have been repaired. They've been repaired by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And they have been repaired. And I just love. You guys can't hear this music back there. But I'm telling you, this is the greatest ring I have ever heard. I love this ring on this phone. And it gave us just a little bit of levity here, which was really needed in the seriousness of the moment. But that God, what I got to tell you, what's even better is her red face. And I love it. I love it. Isn't that fun? How God does that and just allows us, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to embarrass you any more than. Only because these are things that happen to me. So that area of my life is repaired. And I'm stronger in those areas than I have ever been before. Than I ever was before. Those areas that broke me have now been repaired by the Holy Spirit. And I'm stronger in that area than I ever was before. And we are hard pressed, verse 8, on every side, yet we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but we are not in despair. We are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, beloved sisters in Christ. These words are true of us when we are walking with the Lord. The New Bible Commentary states it this way: we are hemmed in, but not hamstrung. Not knowing what to do, but not bereft of all hope. Not bereft of all hope. Hunted by men, but never abandoned by God. Often felled, but never finished. I love the way that that came across. Hemmed in, but not hamstrung. Not knowing what to do, but never bereft of all hope. Hunted by men, but never abandoned by God. Often felled, but never finished. Oh, I'm so excited. This world is not my home. That's all I can. I am so excited these days about that. I really am. This world is passing away. This body's passing away faster than this world is passing away. We'll get down to that as we get to another scripture here. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. We are always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. What does that mean? We're always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus? That means I am dying to myself. I'm dying to my own desires so that in my body, in this body, can be the manifestation of Jesus Christ. That in this body, this broken pot, this cracked pot, this unattractive looking thing can have in it the glory of God. Do you know, when you look at a bride, have you ever looked at a bride at a wedding? I guess that's where the brides go. Have you ever been able to look at it and go, oh man, that is not a pretty face? Never. Never have I ever seen a bride that was not beautiful. Why? Because she's in love. In love with the Lord Jesus Christ, we are beautiful. No matter what this body looks at, people see past this. And they see Jesus. So it's manifested in my body. Verse 11, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Excuse me. We go through things, we die to ourselves, but we also experience a number of times when things just get rough. It's in those rough patches that we find what we're made of. It's in those rough patches that we find out who's living within us, who is strengthening us. It's in those rough times, those tough times, those times when I want to give up. I know none of you in here have ever experienced that, where you just want to give up. And you just, you know, I saw a title on a book, Where Does a Mother Go to Resign? You know, you get to a place where you want to give up. And in those times when I want to give up, it's him that carries me through. We are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh, that others can see, you know what you're going through? I was there before. And I can share Jesus with them because I've been in a place before where they are now. Don't ever think that the things in your life happen to, oh, poor me. Poor me, this happened. Oh, poor me, this happened. Oh, poor me, blah, 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 blah. We have all of this oh, poor me thing. And those things that we look at and we say, oh, poor me, we find ourselves in a place where we're counseling with someone or we're just chatting with them over coffee and they bring up something and you go, I know exactly what you're talking about. You see, that death that was in you is now made life for someone else so that we can show them Jesus. We can show them what God's done in our lives. So then death is working in us, but life in you. That's exactly what that is. Death is working in us, that life is in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. Paul is saying here, we will speak when God tells us to speak. We will say the words. There is a time to speak and there's a time to say absolutely nothing at all. You ever had those times? I need to say something. No. It's those times when I hear God saying, shut up, Joy. Just shut up. Don't talk. And then there are those times when you know the situation and you know if I say something here, they're not going to be happy. They're going to put me out. They're not going to want me at their house. And God says, you speak, knowing all of the consequences of that speaking, then you speak. And God gives mercy and grace in those times. When we speak the truth in love, not to draw our attention to ourselves, oh, I'm so persecuted because of blood. No, I'm persecuted because they are persecuting Christ who is living in me. It's not me that they're against. It's Jesus who lives in me. And knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. Paul is saying what he's so excited about. We know that we are going to be resurrected. We know that we are going to live with Christ. And when we stand before that throne, Paul says, we're going to be standing there with you, Corinthians. And you know, I'm so excited because when I stand before the Lord, you guys are going to be standing with me. That brings chills to my body. You guys who love the Lord, who love his word, I get to stand there with you, but you know what? You're going to be up in front. You're going to be closer to the throne of God than I could ever get. I've had my time here. But to be able to stand there amongst you guys and know I had a part in that, there is no greater joy. There is no greater joy. Oh, getting all emotional here. He is able to present us with you, verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Paul says we're doing all our stuff we do for you. How many in here are people pleasers? Oh, I see some hands not going up. You're not people pleasers? Oh, I'll bet you're not telling the truth. Because we all, at one point or another, are people pleasers. We want you to be happy. I want you to be happy with me. Paul says, I'm not a people pleaser, but I am a Jesus pleaser. And so I do all for your sakes. That grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. That you would thank God for what he's done in your life. That you would be so thankful. Verse 16, and because of that, therefore, we do not lose heart. We do not give up. We do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. I'm telling you that this outward man is perishing more and more every day. This outward man is falling apart. When I get up in the morning, once I get my eyes open, and then I start thinking about, I'm going to have to get out of bed. And as I get out of bed, I say, oh, ow, oh, I didn't know I had a muscle there. Oh, and then the morning, the crinkling and the cracking and all of the, oh my gosh, I got to get into the shower. Help me get into the shower, God. I'll rise, but I refuse to shine today. God, I just can't. This body is falling apart. You know, my knees hurt, my feet hurt, my elbows hurt, my hands hurt, my neck hurts, my eyes hurt, my there's all something new every day is hurting. And they go, oh, so how's your knees? Oh, well, actually, my back's hurting. So I don't know how my knees are doing because my back's hurting. And so, you know, this outward man is perishing. But the inward man is renewed every day. Every day. That inward man is being renewed. For our light affliction, Paul says, verse 17, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Our light affliction, Paul is talking about light affliction as being shipwrecked, stoned, in a dank prison, being starved. What number of things? And he says, this is light affliction. This is nothing. Because it only lasts for a moment. It has an end. It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. It's not forever. When you're in the middle of something, do you ever think, this is just never going to end? You ever been there? It's never going to change. It's never going to be different. I just know it. It's just never going to change. It changes. It changes. It's different. It's light affliction, and it only lasts for a time. But it's at work. It's at work. That's the important thing. That light affliction that lasts for a moment is at work in me. Is at work in you for a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. When you stand before the Lord and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in to what I've prepared for you. I love that he says, enter in to what I've prepared for you, because that means he was expecting me to come. I love that. You get your house all ready for guests to come. You prepared for them. And then there are those ones who dropped in. I'm not prepared for them. I wasn't expecting them, but God is expecting me. And he's prepared a place for me. He's gone ahead of me to prepare that place so that where he is, I can be with him. Well, we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I have to remember this verse all the time when I'm talking to someone and I really disagree with them on something. Why don't we plant a such and such over here? I don't like a such and such over there. Can't we plant a blah, blah, blah there instead of a such and such? Well, no, I really like this. And you get on this conversation about something being planted, and all of a sudden you gotta say, I have to say, does it have any eternal value? It does not. I don't care what plant is there, really. It doesn't matter. It has no eternal value. So what about the things in our lives? If I'm talking with someone and they're disagreeing about whether or not Jesus Christ is Lord, that has eternal value. And I'm going to stick to my guns on that one. And I'm going to say the truth in love. And I'm not going to set that aside. I won't give in. I won't give in. By this grace of God, I won't give in for the things that are temporary. Keep your mind on the things that are eternal. Remember the important things. Remember the important things and keep them important in your life. And so, Father, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your grace that you pour out on us, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the awareness of your presence with us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that ministers to us. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Thank you, Lord, for the trials and the tribulations and the challenges that are in our lives, Lord. Some are harder than others. Many are very hard. But Lord, they're working in us a far greater weight of glory when we see you face to face. And so, Father, would you just draw us closer to you? And Lord, when we are tempted, Lord, would you strengthen us in that temptation? Help us to stand strong. Father, will you cause us, Lord, to know that have the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding and to walk in it. Lord, help us to grow in you, Lord. Growth in our confidence of your love for us, in the confidence of who we are in you. Remind us, Lord, to take the time to sit at your feet and to hear from you, to know what your word is to us personally. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for that word. And ladies, that was a word directly from God right now. That you would take some time to sit at his feet because he has something to say to you. And I don't know what that means to you. I just know that he is asking you, every one of us, to sit at his feet and to find out what he has to say to us. So we thank you for that word, Lord, and we pray for the strength and really the courage, Lord, to sit at your feet and allow you to speak to us, Lord, and to listen intently for your voice. Help us to always put you first, Lord, and let the world see what a wonderful God you are. Loving, caring. You've said that I no longer call you servants, but friends. Thank you, Lord. You're a friend who lays down his life. Greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for a friend. And that's what you've done for us, Lord, and we're thankful. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.